Puerto Ricans protesting in the island's capital, San Juan, over the weekend, where citizens are demanding Governor Ricardo Rosselló resign. Late last week, private chat messages from the governor were leaked to the press, and in those, he used sexist and vulgar language to refer to the island's oversight board and former New York City Council Speaker Melissa Mark Viverito. And over the weekend, two of his top officials who had participated in that chat, his chief financial officer and secretary of state, resigned. Rosselló has apologized, but calls for him to step down have only grown louder. The text revelations came just after the latest corruption scandal on the island. Last week, two government officials were arrested by the FBI for allegedly steering government contracts to unqualified companies. And charges in that case include theft and money laundering. It's just the latest sign of political instability on the island that is still reeling from Hurricane Maria and in need of additional federal aid. I'm Tanzina Vega, and today we're going to talk about it on The Takeaway. Michael Dybert has been following all this. Michael is the Caribbean correspondent for Bloomberg in San Juan and author of the forthcoming book, When the Sky Fell, Hurricane Maria and the United States in Puerto Rico. Michael, thanks for being with us on The Takeaway.
Thanks very much for having me on.
So we just heard protests. You were there on the scene. Governor Rosselló is currently resisting calls to step down. Tell us a little bit about the protesters and what the scene was like over the weekend.
One thing that's interesting at this moment, I'd say, in Puerto Rico is that when you go to these protests, which seem to be getting kind of bigger as they go on, there's obviously a cadre of people there who are probably, you know, very politically active, who are probably used to going to protests. But there's a large chunk of them as well who I would say just seem like ordinary citizens who are fed up. I talked to one woman who was saying that, you know, she hopes that this is not just a kind of turning point with regards to Rosselló and getting him out of office, but also with regards to the island's relationship with this fiscal oversight board that was kind of imposed upon it by Congress 3 years ago, and which to a large degree has been the focus of a lot of very bitter back and forth between the Rosselló government and the board itself, lots of which was referred to in those chats that you mentioned.
Let's talk a little bit about the context of the texts. What did we learn from them? Tell us about some of the main news that really came out of them.
I mean, I think what was shocking to a lot of Puerto Ricans was the incredibly misogynistic and homophobic tone and the really mocking and cruel tone in terms of even regular Puerto Ricans that the governor and his staff came into contact with, not just his political adversaries and whatnot. I mean, one of the also, I'd say, more shocking ones was when one of his advisors seemed to be musing about the possibility of the assassination of the mayor of San Juan. Rosselló responded to that with, "You'd be doing me a favor." There's about 900 pages of them that were printed on the site of the Center for Investigative Reporting here in Puerto Rico, which does very good work. I think the only word I would use to describe kind of the tone of the text is a sewer, basically.
Given that the texts were released pretty much right before the weekend, since then we've seen Rosselló's chief financial officer and the Secretary of State step down. What was their role in the scandal and why did they step down? And Rosselló has essentially maintained that he will not step down, at least so far.
Yeah, they were kind of intricate in terms of the exchanges that were going on in the texts, as were several other officials, including the former Treasury Secretary Raul Maldonado, who was fired by Rosselló the week before last, basically, because he had come out and said that he was cooperating with the FBI in an investigation in the Treasury Department here and that there was an institutional mafia that was pressuring and had threatened him. So there's a kind of multifaceted crisis that's going on in Puerto Rico right now. And I would say when you talk to people on the street, a lot of them, their analysis of it is that it's the problem of a system that's greater than just Rosselló or even his party. It's a system that, you know, a lot of people still see as a very colonial one, where the island of Puerto Rico, the Commonwealth of Puerto Rico and its people are kind of subjects of D.C. and of these bondholders and whatnot, and have very little recourse.
Rosselló has been criticized also for how he handled the aftermath of Hurricane Maria. Many folks remember President Trump, throwing paper towels into the audience during a media conference, and Rosselló sort of being almost in line with President Trump and maybe stepping back a little bit since then. Did the text reveal anything about his true feelings about Hurricane Maria?
I can't remember. I think it was some Democratic politician in the States that said you should never let a crisis go to waste. And there was certainly a bit of a tone of that in the text. You know, I've read a lot of them. I haven't gotten through all 900 pages yet. So there may still be some things in there that will surprise and shock us. But I mean, I think, as I said, the aspect of the exchanges that was most jarring was just the scorn that seemed to be poured on just kind of ordinary Puerto Ricans by the governor and his staff, which was very, you know, jarring in terms of being a contrast to their public persona and professions of caring.
There are some on the island. You mentioned San Juan's mayor, Carmen Yulín Cruz, and she and Rosselló have all had their differences, if we're being generous about that. And they have said that they're worried that this situation, the political instability, the corruption, could in fact give President Trump more ammunition to keep aid from Puerto Rico, something that the president has wanted to do. Has the Trump administration responded so far, and are those fears warranted?
I have not seen any direct response to the situation in Puerto Rico from the president so far. I think it's pretty obvious at this point, now we're approaching the two-year anniversary of the storm landing on Puerto Rico, that the president has a real, how can I say, has an issue with Puerto Rico and with Puerto Ricans. I mean, he's made repeatedly false statements about the island, about how much aid has been dispersed. So I don't think he needs much of an excuse to kind of, you know, go down that road again, so to speak. And I would be surprised if he doesn't use this as some sort of political cover to further attempt to, you know, withhold aid that in many cases has already been approved by Congress.
Before the text message scandal, Puerto Rico was dealing with yet another crisis in its leadership, including FBI arrests, who included former Education Secretary Kelleher. Now, she began her work in 2017. She's been a controversial figure since the very beginning. And we know that before Hurricane Maria, even the island had been going through an economic crisis. They had had a brain drain, if you will. Lots of folks were leaving the island, unable to find work. What was the state of the education system on the island under Kelleher?
I think one important aspect of the crisis on the island and the crisis in the education system especially is that it had been already in a state of really severe peril even before the hurricane struck, with the crisis of funds that affects both the, you know, secondary school and also higher education. I mean, the University of Puerto Rico has been subject to pretty severe cuts in the last several years. And, you know, you go to cities in rural Puerto Rico and towns in the mountains, for example, and it's not very hard to find kids who have seen their schools closed twice in their lifetime before they even graduate and had to move on. I mean, part of that is that the grinding economic crisis has forced a huge outflux of Puerto Ricans from the island to the States. I mean, you have, you know, tons of people settling in Pennsylvania and the Orlando area and wherever, taking all their skills and expertise and their kids to go live there. So you have a reduction in population here in Puerto Rico. I mean, I think if you talk to a lot of economic analysts here on the island, if they look at the work that the Fiscal Oversight Board has done, the thing that came out of this law called PROMESA, which was passed in 2016, I think a lot of people here would say the island got all of the kind of bad aspects of austerity. In other words, you know, belt tightening in terms of, you know, things like education and whatnot, and none of the promised stability. Because if anything, I would say the island's political and economic situation is even more chaotic than it was 3 years ago. And, you know, for I believe it's the second or third year in a row, at least the second, maybe the third, the island's governor and the board have two competing budgets that are not reconciled with one another, and they're fighting it out in court. And there's also another big question hanging over them, which is that the legality of the appointment of the members of the board, there's a big question mark over it. And I believe the Supreme Court's going to hear it in, I think, October, a case to decide whether, you know, they were constitutionally appointed or not. So that also throws a lot of things into question and into doubt. I think the former Secretary of Education, I mean, here certainly she seems like a very controversial figure. She seems, you know, like a figure that I think a lot of people felt probably wasn't well representing the interests of a lot of students in Puerto Rico. And she was certainly also one of Rosselló's stars. I mean, he really lavished praise with her even after she left the role. So I think that's when these arrests came down and the Department of Justice had a press conference with the FBI here in San Juan and stuff last week. that seemed to shift the hint of scandal closer and closer to his administration. And that was coming after the forced resignation of Raul Maldonado, the former Treasury Secretary I mentioned earlier.
Let's talk a little bit about what Kelleher's relationship and the charges that she was brought under. Now, she was alleged to have granted contracts to a private company named Colon and Ponce. What was her connection to Colon and Ponce? What do Colon and Ponce do?
The whole thing behind it is essentially that, you know, she was steering contracts and to people who were not necessarily qualified to do them and overpaying them for doing it. Now, that's not exactly an unheard of thing in Puerto Rico. I mean, various governments have had scandals somewhat similar to this, including, I must say, the government of Rosselló's father, who was a governor in the 90s here. And so, but I think what makes it a little bit different in this sense is you get the sense among the people here when you talk to them that the island was so desperate already, it was thrown completely, you know, completely devastated by Maria. And I mean, I believe you reported here from in the wake of Maria, and to say that it was a hurricane doesn't even really do it justice. It was just total destruction of the basic fabric of day-to-day life. So I think for the idea that someone would come in a situation like that and allegedly profiteer from it, while being praised by the sitting governor, it really aggravates and enrages people here.
There's another company involved in the indictments, and they're named BDO. What do we know about BDO?
BDO is a politically connected accounting firm here in Puerto Rico that had various contacts and various contracts with the government. And they have, you know, it's one of those names that's been swirling around for years, particularly one of their consultants. So I don't think the fact that they were named in the indictment really came as a huge surprise to anyone. But again, it's this whole idea, I would say, among the population here, that there is a kind of cadre of elite political operators from both political parties here, both main parties, the pro-Commonwealth and the pro-statehood, and that they're benefiting and profiteering off the misery of the average person here. And they're doing so at the same time when, you know, these federal government bodies like the board are turning the screws on them. So I don't think people here feel very well represented anymore, if they ever did.
Michael Dybert is the Caribbean correspondent for Bloomberg, based in San Juan, and the author of the forthcoming book, When the Sky Fell, Hurricane Maria and the United States in Puerto Rico. Michael, thanks for being with us.
Thank you very much.